Hello, and thank you for listening to this message from the heart of Pastor Eddie Paul Morris. To see what's happening at Deer Valley Worship Center, check out our website, dvwc.church.
Offering to him, but can I have the basket if somebody... Okay, somebody can do it for me. I hope it's the right one. When 2019 started, every year the Lord gives me a word, and I would give it like a vision or prophetic word to our church that what would the year look like. And a lot of people are a little skeptical about, you know, why didn't you tell people what a year will look like? It doesn't really matter. But in 2002, I remember when I was going through a very rough time and season, and that was around 2001 to 2002, and it's been really desperate. Situations had happened. Things were not as they were before. I had just got married in 2001 with this wonderful girl. And in 2002, everything in my ministry and things started to deteriorate. And by the time I came to the end of the year, it was Christmas season. And I still remember in going around with my church people who were left with, going around in houses for carols and singing carols at their doorsteps and coming back home early morning, late night. And one night, actually, I was so much broken, and I said, I can't take it anymore. You know, and something inside of me with God said, it's all finished. And I heard a voice, of course it's finished. And I thought, well, this might be the voice of the enemy. And all of a sudden, I still remember in my dreams and in my time when I was about to go to sleep, and I could see imageries about my life as it been from my very childhood to the very moment that I was there. And all those things, I had seen that things were broken, things had gone bad. My childhood was totally destroyed. What has happened with my family, with my mom dying at a premature death, and even my own brother who was 11 years old. And then I knew about this after I came into the Lord, that this was like a death spirit that was coming from my mother's side. And every now and then on a particular period of time, somebody from my mom's family would die, and I and my dad and my sister as a sibling, we used to go to the graveyard almost every 3 months, 6 months, and it was absolutely traumatic that living a life almost in graves, and it was like, what was going to happen in the days to come? I was like a cat that was being put in a corner and beaten, and in the daytime, I could fight a bull, but in the night, I was shivering like a cat, thinking that somebody in my family would die, or somebody myself would die, and there's no hope left. I left the school, I became a street fighter, I was absolute a rebel kid, and I thought that there's no hope, so what is to live for? No hope. And I had thought I probably want to even study, and I dropped out of school, and everybody knew about me that this whole family has been literally been destroyed. There was a great hand of the enemy working in our life, but on a wonderful day I came to the Lord. But all those imageries throughout my life and coming into the Lord, started serving, and how people started to betray. And, you know, ministry has never been like a sugar-coated place. You know, a lot of time people think, oh, ministry is a place where things gonna be nice and wonderful. It's almost like a holiday. Of course, it is. It's a good thing. The Bible just says it's good to take up the yoke. And Jesus said, my yoke is light. But let me tell you, the people who actually put yoke on you is not doesn't make it light, but it's Jesus that makes it light. But through the life pattern as it is, people are people. People betray you. People talk ill about you. People will leave you. And all those were happening. And I came to a point where I thought, I have lost everything. I have lost. And I kept hearing this voice, I have lost. And something on my right side, yes, 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 yes. And I remember I slept. And suddenly after a week's time, we had Christmas, you know, people just, some odd moments, you just seem to forget, and you go on to the motions of life back. And on Christmas season, we were having a Christmas time, church and everything. And certainly now, by the end of the year, the new year's about to dawn. And I'm thinking, what I'm going to say on the 1st of January, because we got to worship. And I'm thinking to prepare something. And all of a sudden, God reminds me of that night. And the voice that actually kept saying to me was, lost and lost. And I thought it's the voice of the enemy. And God did say, yeah, you have really lost a lot of your things. Of course you have lost things. But now I'm going to restore. And I heard the voice from the word, and I heard a word, ears, and it was actually by ERS, but I thought it's ears. Probably God is putting something into my ear. And I started searching the scriptures. You know, how many of you felt something like an impression of God? And, you know, a lot of times you think God really speaks with a loud voice. Of course, he can, he does. But sometimes he puts an impression. It's almost like a nugget that actually comes inside of you. And you think, wow, what is this all about? And suddenly the Lord just burst into me and said, go to my people and prophesy about restoration. And Joel 2:25, where he says, I will restore to you the years, the cankerworm, the pamomer, the locust, the great army that I send among you. And from that day onward, I understood that God has a word for every season and for every reason. Well, whatever may be the case, God's got a word. A word can change so many things that you're thinking about. And in Isaiah it says, I will send my word and I will fulfill for what it has been sent, and it will not return void till it has accomplished for what I have sent it forth. Yes. You know, God accomplished what he sends his word for. He sent his son as a word, incorruptible seed of the word of God, and it has accomplished that no mankind could have done from eternity to eternity. That's the word. That's the power of the word. That's the power of the prophetic word. When 2019 came in 2018, when Pastor Eddie and was around, God has already spoken to me. And he said, tell my people, this is the year of seeking and rewards. You might think, of course, God rewards his people. And I tell you something about God is, he is our happy daddy. He loves to give us good gifts. That's what the Bible says. And most of it is about giving us rewards. And to 2019, the Lord brought me to the word from Hebrews 11:6. He said that the Lord, it is impossible to please God. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. But whoever comes to him must believe that he is, and he is the rewarder of those who diligently seek him. And let me tell you, church, this is not the time to do anything else, but get onto your knees, get into your motion, and start seeking the Lord. I don't know what you're seeking after, but Lord has specifically told me to tell not just to my church, but to my people. This word is not for the people who do not know the Lord, who are not in the kingdom, but it's about people who actually have heard from God before, but they need to hear it from God again, that this year is definitely, and not just this year, but this year makes you go to seek after him, not seek the riches of this world, not to seek after the things of this world, but to seek after him. And let me tell you, when you seek your God with all your heart, it doesn't go unrewarded. There is a reward for each of you who is seeking after God. Hallelujah. That's why it says, seek ye first the kingdom. Seek ye the first, the priority, the premier, the first thing should be seeking after him. And let me tell you, there is no kingdom without the king, and your king is on the throne, and you need to go into that throne room. You need to press into that kingdom. You need to go and seek after him. One thing have I desire, that will I seek after. And God is looking out for those people who are seeking after him. Can everybody say, seek after him? Seek after him. I don't know. When I started ministry, people came to church, boys came to seeking after girls, but I don't know about girls. But this is not a place to seek after matches. You know, when people came into our church, they were always looking. You know, they used to come, parents used to come to my church, and I was a bachelor, and suddenly when I got engaged to my wife, you know, the half of the church left. I did not know why did they leave, because everybody had somebody to get married to me. Sorry, them watching on Facebook makes my life a little difficult. Our one actually went on to my mother-in-law, and she said, you know, I was asking Pastor Raymond to come to my home, and I was trying hard to kind of tell him, marry my daughter. You just snatched my future son-in-law from my hand. I thought maybe the church was meant to seek after Jesus, not seek after matches. I thought the place where we worship Jesus is not a place where we look for worldly things. I don't say that marriage is not the plan of God. Of course it is. I don't say that God doesn't want to provide. It's not that God doesn't want to give things to us. Of course he does want to. He doesn't want to. It's not that he doesn't like to give good gifts or riches to his people. Of course he does. But he's looking for some people out here who is seeking after him. Some people went up to Jesus and they've crossed over the sea and they after Capernaum and they came to Jesus and they said, Jesus, we were looking for you. And Jesus as he is, you know, we think Jesus is like a sugar-coated daddy. You know, oh, come on, Jesus. My, like, Jesus is like a sweetheart. Jesus is like great, like a kind of a very fair guy. I tell you, you know, when if Jesus would have lived in this time, he would be irritating people who would even don't imagine that Jesus can irritate you. We always think like Jesus was like a docile, when he was born, he was a baby. He was like, he's always like, no, the Pharisees didn't like him. Because the things that he said, you know, when they were talking about the King Herod wants to see you, he said, of course, King Herod wants to see me. Tell that fox, I don't have time for him. One on earth, like a man would say to a king like that. But that was Jesus. Sometimes we think like, oh, the leaders should be always saying something good, positive, never would think oh, that's what Jesus was. But Jesus said, you know, you were not looking out for me, you're not sorting me, but you were looking for breads that you had full when you were around me. I used to go from places to places. There people were feeding me, and in lieu of that, you were also getting fed. Or you were not looking for me, you were looking for bread. There are people out there, they're looking to the hand of Jesus, but God is looking up to somebody who are seeking him. Yes. Not what he gives, not what we can get out of Jesus. Give me Jesus. That's what he's looking. And that's what the word says. And I want you to go to a place where it says in Psalm 53 and verse 2. If somebody could put it on screen. Look what this man is saying. You know, this is where a remarkable word. He said, when the fool said unto his fool that there is no God, they all fell in corruption. That's how the scripture. This was the first lesson we were taught in our Bible college. When the fool said to his heart, there is no God, they were led in corrupt. And you know what God is saying here? Can we have it on the screen right now? Psalm 53 and verse 2. God looks down from heaven upon the children of men to see if there are any who understand who? Seek after God. You can find wisdom when you can, you know, a lot of times we think we're good enough. We understand everything. You talk to people, nobody says, I don't get it. Everybody says, I get it. I do know. I know everything. But let me tell you, the wisdom comes from not just by your own understanding. And that's what the scripture is. Do not lean unto your understanding. But when you start understanding the fact, when you seek after God, everything of understanding and wisdom comes, because with wisdom, the house is built. And with understanding, all its chambers are full with the possessions and treasures of this world. That's what the scripture says in Proverbs. But when you seek after him, you get wisdom. And what is that wisdom? Wisdom that builds your things up. A lot of people are saying, I don't understand why things have gone wrong. I don't know, maybe. But have you actually seek after him? Have you ever seek after his wisdom? Have you ever gone and asked him? And I tell you, the word says, by the counsel of two and three, a word is established. Have you ever gone to a counselor who actually told you that you need to seek after God? I've got people in the old times, in the scriptures, when they were seeking God, God not just established them, but God established their kingdoms. A lot of us are saying, my house is in ruins. My things are going out of my hand. Let me tell you, God has made you to have authority. God has given you things in your hand. God has given you the authority. God has given you the understanding that you can make things happen. God has given you the wisdom so that you can establish things. That's what Job said. You will say and you will decree and it shall be established. You have, your words have power. But where does it come from? When you seek after him, when you seek after God, you receive the understanding of God. And when you get the understanding of God, you become wise in his presence. And whatever you do, God starts building you up. And may I say to you, start seeking him. You will have the understanding. A lot of the churches have a lot of programs. I'm not against any programs. But do we have programs that comes and make people and group of people come together to seek him? The Chronicles, in the very first says in 16, seek him and seek his strength. When King Jehoshaphat was surrounded by his enemies, and this scripture, this incident is very famous. People in worship uses when he was surrounded by enemies, and he was actually not just surrounded by one enemy, he was surrounded by three kingdoms, and they had actually gone against this kingdom and the King Jehoshaphat. And when they had come together, the one thing that is good about King Jehoshaphat was that he inquired of the Lord. When troubles come, when times of challenges come, whom do you run to? Where do you run to? Run towards whom? The counsels of men? Do you run towards the lawyers? Do you run towards people who would give you worldly wisdom? You need to inquire of this, the heavenly God, by whose word whole earth and creation established and sustained right now. I want to tell you about a story about this King Jehoshaphat. This King Jehoshaphat, we know very good things about King Jehoshaphat, but there have been times when he actually had faltered. You know, sometimes you think when we falter, we've fallen off the image of God. No, that's not true. God has taken us as we are. We are human. And that's what the word says in Psalms, that God knows our frame, that we are human. He knows what we can do wrong. He knows what we are doing wrong. And whatever we do, we may go out of our hand. And that's what happened with King Jehoshaphat when he actually aligned himself with King Ahab. You know, the story goes like that. The King Ahab was not a right person, but he was leading the kingdom of Israel. Then kingdom of Israel and Judah had become two different nations. And Jehoshaphat was leading the kingdom of Judah. And what had happened was they came together and they started to have war against the enemies. But something good happened was the enemy that was coming against them, they thought it is King Ahab in battle, because they exchanged their clothes and they actually start running toward King Jehoshaphat, and he almost died because the whole army wanted to kill King Ahab and they thought he's King Ahab. But by turns of events, God helped Jehoshaphat. But one thing God didn't like about King Jehoshaphat, and it says in chapter 19 of the Second Chronicles, and it says when King, you can get it on the screen, I will read it for you. And it says when Jehoshaphat, the king of Judah, returned safely to his palace in Jerusalem, Jehu, the seer, the son of Hanani, went out to meet him and said to the king, should you help the wicked and love those who hate the Lord? You know, God didn't like that. We know the story of King Ahab, how wicked he was. And his wife, Jezebel, you know the whole story, how they were actually really against the things what God has said to them. And God did not like this, that Jehoshaphat is doing this. You know, sometimes you think these are people of God, but you should know and align and have a covenant relationship with people who are actually are people of God. Not just by their ways, by their tradition, by their worship, by church. That doesn't mean, are they really aligning themselves what God has told them? This is not part of my message, but I really want to speak onto it. A lot of people think they are actually of God. They are taking the name of the Lord, but they don't have the mind of God. And that's what King Ahab was all about. Though he was the king over Israel, but wasn't walking as the king of Israel should have. But King Jehoshaphat was a man of a different spirit, just like Caleb. But still, he could not, because he thought, oh yeah, he's one of us. He's like, God would mind you because he's definitely king of Israel. Israel has so many promises. So God wouldn't mind that kind of alignment. You know what? God is definitely jealous about us. Who it can be, God was jealous for Jehoshaphat. And you know, when the seer came, when the prophet came, he said one thing. He said, should you help the wicked, love those who hate the Lord? Because of this, the rod of the Lord is on you. We know something. Oh, rod doesn't happen in the New Testament. Don't talk about it. Let's not go there. But there is, however, some good in you, for you have rid the land of Asherah's poles, and you have set your heart on seeking God. In spite of this folly, in spite of this thing that you had done, God still ejected you. God rescued you. Because one thing you did, you took away all those Asherah's poles which were standing there as an abomination in the presence of God. You took those away. But second important part is, you sought the Lord with all your heart. You know, when you start seeking the Lord, God likes it. And he's my man, he's my woman. You're surrounded by enemies because of your own mistake. But let me tell you, man, even if you have made mistakes, heard the story of Abraham? Abraham, when the king Abimelech came to him and he said, who is this woman? He said, oh, she's my sister. Of course, I'll take your sister then. And suddenly, Abraham, being scared of the king, you know, God actually had to go and intervene on his behalf and go into the dream and shake this king. And he said, you have done wrong, and this is what you have done. And he wakes up in the morning and he tells Abraham, what wrong have you done? Why did you tell me? You know, if God has a covenant relationship with you, he will eject you, he will save you, he will rescue you. I'm not saying go on doing whatever you're doing. No, that's not what I'm trying to prove you here. But something great about this man was, and not just man, but a king. A king could have an excuse. Well, the problem is, I am so busy. I have an excuse. I've got children. I've got a new baby. Don't talk about that. Seeking after God is not a wishful thinking. Everybody say, not wishful thinking. I'm seeking God. No, that's not what it is. Psalm 27 is clear about it. I seek after him. I seek his face. Are you on a lookout for him when you're here? Not in this setting itself, but wherever I am, I look out for him. Jesus, the author, the finisher, my lover, my everything, whatever I am is because of him. I seek after him. That's what King Jehoshaphat was all about. Even when he was politically doing a mistake, he was doing a folly, but God said, this man, I need to get out. This is my one, because he seeks after me, and I cannot deny the fact that he is mine. And that's for all of us. When you're seeking after him, he knows you, and he knows you, and he delivers you. He delivers you from the hand of the enemy. Another place I wanted to take you to, 2 Chronicles chapter 15 and verse 15. These are great men who had actually seen what God has done in their life. And when they had actually seek after... I want you to go to a place also, before we come to 2 Chronicles chapter 15 and verse 15. I have done a series about every kings and princesses in the Old Testament, who were actually seeking after God. And I've not completed it back home, but I've still got some glimpses of it. And I want to tell you, all those kings who actually sought after him had made great success, and God was with them. We need people in authority who are not just there for their own good or for their own benefit, but they're there so that they become pointers and they become like an apostle. They become like people who would point towards everyone. Let's seek after God. You know, it's a total different dynamics when kings and people in high places and offices, when they start seeking God, something wonderful starts happening. And not just in a group of people, but also in a nation. And that's what should be our prayer as a battle cry. Lord, put up people, set up kings and people in office and places there so that they seek you and they seek your counsel and they seek after you. And what they will do, God will save them, and not just save them, but save their nation also. 2 Chronicles chapter 26 and verse 5. It talks about a king, and we know this story, and this man is King Uzziah. How many know about his story? You don't know, so let's read it today then. Verse 5. Can we have it on the screen? He sought God in the days of Zechariah, who had understanding in the visions of God. And as long as he sought the Lord, God made him. We don't talk about prosperity, but the verse is God delights in the prosperity of his loved ones. That's you and I. It's Father's delight to prosper you. Yeah, the plans that I have is to prosper. Say that to your neighbor. God has a plan to prosper you. Come on, put some faith into it. Say he wants to prosper you. When the righteousness increases in a city, God prospers the city. Yes. When righteous flourish, there is joy in the city, and part of the joy is prosperity. And this King Uzziah, God gave him understanding. God gave him skills. He was the one who could actually establish wonderful instruments, and not just instruments, but he made great walls. He was a man of precisions, and he was a man of power. He had a great army, and in those armies, they had arms that could go long distance and devour the enemies. And that's what King Uzziah was all about, because one thing he knew about is to seek and to sought after God. I tell you, when you do that, when in all your ways, when you're seeking him, God will prosper you. Say this, God will prosper you. I am seeking God. That's not the way I'm telling you. I'm giving you examples of kings and princesses. Kings would have so many jobs to do at one time. It's not an easy job to run a nation. It's not an easy job. Let me tell you, it's a lot of time we're very critical about people in authority or in the office or the people who are there above us. We think it's a kind of a easy walk for them. It's not. But in spite of all of that, when King Uzziah sought after God, God gave him understanding. God will give you same understanding and you will prosper. God told me, tell my people in 2019, whenever they're seeking me, I will prosper them. The house of Israel was not blessed because they were Israel. They were blessed because they have a God who used to prosper them. 2 Chronicles chapter 15 and verse 15. 2 Chronicles. I'm just going precept by precept, and I hope it will not just bless somebody. Some hearts will be turned and stirred up this morning. And all Judah rejoiced at the oath. You know what has happened was, the Lord has actually brought this king into a place, and where they actually restored. It's about the king at that moment was King Asa, and he actually came together with all the elders of the city, and he said, we need to restore everything of God. We need to pull down and things and restore all of that. And that day, they all together took an oath. And what they sworn was, with their whole heart, and sought him with all their soul. I want to read my translation. It is so beautifully written. It said, the all Judah rejoiced about the oath because they had sworn it wholeheartedly. There's something about being wholeheartedly. Say wholeheartedly. Can you put your hand on your heart? Wholeheartedly. No, I've got a match to see this afternoon. Come on, finish fast. My heart revolves around things that I'm looking up to. It's an issue of life. As the man thinking, whatever you're thinking, your thoughts are captive by your heart. Whatever you think is actually governed by your heart. If your heart, wherever is your treasure, so is your heart. Who's your treasure? My treasure is my career. We get a lot of young people. One thing we tell them to be watchful is, don't let your careers and your possessions that you're yearning for will take over your heart. And let me tell you, some places this heart had been deceitful to us, has been overtaken by our cares of this world, and it's not wholeheartedly. It's got a hole in my heart, and it doesn't cover up. We have got a hole, and we are trying to cover it up with many things, and we're still saying, I'm in the church, I'm doing church things, I'm not talking about doing church things, I'm not saying listening to music and worship. Sometimes we think we have actually made ourselves, but God is saying to get uncomfortable, go to a place. When God ever announces, when the sign of revival is not people sitting at home, but the sign of revival is people coming out of their home and collect themselves and make themselves together and seeking after Him and seeking after His face. And this is what revival is all about. And this is what God is asking His people, not to just stay home and to be comfortable, but He wants you to come out of this complacency, and with your whole heart, you start seeking Him. And when they start seeking Him wholeheartedly, let me tell you, you're not away from a revival. Revival is not a philosophy. Revival is not a battle cry prayer topic. It's not a prayer topic, but it's supposed to happen, and it can only happen if you're wholeheartedly seeking God. Where is your heart? Where is your heart? A lot of people say, I really want to do it, you know. Come on, I really like to come to my prayer meeting. Oh, when is the next prayer meeting? Oh, pastor, you need to pray for me. My heart is all for you. Whenever you come together, my heart is always for you. Men, your heart is in your body. Bring your body into the prayer meeting. And that's what wholeheartedly means. Sorry. I'm a pastor. No, I'm an overseer over pastors. So that thing just comes out of me. I can't help it. If you really think your wholeheartedly, your heart is where you are. And wherever you are, your heart is. When you dream big, you are there. And I'm telling you, you need to dream with God, not without God. He made you success. He brought you here. He gave you a career. All that happened not because of you, but with the wisdom of God and His understanding, and you have attained. And it's time when you get around with your position and things. I tell my people, don't those things overtake you. Don't let your additions in your family or things like that to overtake your heart. Let your heart would be secure where you are, where your God is. Your heart should be set on it. Every day and morning, wherever I will, I can never run from your presence. This is what David said, wherever I go, you are there. My heart yearns for you. I long for you. My heart is looking out for you. My life is looking out for you. I'm looking for my God, and God is looking unto people around from heaven are those who are seeking me. That's what the king said. No more your cares. You know, sometimes this word that we get from here gets choked because the cares of this world will suppress it. What's cooking tonight? What's it like, baby, tonight? Honey, what's going to be the food tomorrow? And, you know, you need to come out of that attitude. You need to know what the heavenly food is all about every morning. You know, in Israel, there was manna for every day. Why do you think there was a manna for every day? Why couldn't God just give them on a day, like get it like a grocery, keep it into their cupboards and cook it? God wanted them to actually go out of their tents and collect it. I like my AC, I stay in my stores, I like television. I just want to sit in front of it. Wow, what a message. It was good. So Sorry, folks who were there. As I said, you know, I want my people back home, and I do want to want people here. Don't let the things of this world overtake your heart. Your heart was the thing that he was after, and you had hid yourself in your heart with your things. It says, I just got, that's what Jesus was all about. When there was a man who had his son's wedding, and he was actually prepared a banquet. Do you know that God has actually prepared a banquet for you? He's got goodies for you on the table, and where do you think you're going to get it? In your chat rooms, in your places? No, of course not. You need to come place where he has set his table before you. And let me tell you, it's here this morning too. Some of you need to come out of that comfortable zone. Some of you need to come out of your place. Oh man, Arizona is an arid place. It's heat. Oh, come on. I've seen people golf in 90 degrees temperature. How's that possible? I don't know if I've got to get a chance the next time to come here. Come on. They sought together. They said, we need to see God. Enough is enough. The nations overtake us. The nations have brought their foreign gods into our territory. We need to get rid of this and bring our God here. We need to together seek after him. And this is what is the nation is all about. This is what God has chosen. He's chosen me. You remember those days when they were in Babylon. He says, how can we sing song for God in the foreign land? But in the same word, it says in Jeremiah 29, and he says, you will look out for me. You will seek me in the foreign land and you will find me. There's never an excuse for that. Oh, nobody worships here. I'm the alone. Nobody in my family would talk about God. I don't know, it's difficult. America, people don't talk about God. I tell you, wherever you go, God is present for you. As you are on a lookout for him, he's on a lookout for you. It's a two-way parley. It's a conversation. It's fellowship. Every evening, the Lord went to look out for Adam. Where are you? And he would say, yeah, here I am. But that day he said, I don't know, where is Adam? You know, God intentionally came every cool of the day because he wanted to meet Adam. And that's what Adam's generation is all about, where God comes down from heaven to meet up with his people. Prayer is not a monologue and shouting and rallying and asking God to do something. That's a heathen prayer. The prayer of a believer, a prayer of a person is actually in his prayer. He's looking out for God. Where are you? I need you. You are my everything. I want you to come here. Come and have us. We want you. Without you, we are nothing. You are everything for us. The thing that distinguished the land of Israel from all the other nations was because they had a God who nobody has like him. What will distinguish you, Will, is about our Jesus that we have, which no world has. And the thing doesn't finish here. Can we read the whole scripture again, 2 Chronicles chapter 15 and verse 15? Something I want you to be aware of, something I just want your heart to reach out. And he says, they all sworn and they said, with all their hearts sought him, with all their soul, and he was found. Doesn't it sound like a revival? We are praying for visitation. When you really wholeheartedly seek him, God visits his people. You must be hearing about stories in Middle East, all those places. It's closed borders. It's areas forbidden, gospel forbidden, scriptures not taken. You can only smuggle. You cannot take Bible. But God, there are people who will look out for him. He visits his people. When he's sown in your heart, you'll be found by him. And you know what? And the Lord gave them rest all around. Give me rest. Where do I find rest? Which the rest is actually found in seeking for him. Come unto me, all those who are heavy laden. But in that moment also, when Jesus said to Peter, when he was when when the waters were rising and the ship was about to sink, and the disciples remained there, but Peter got off his boat and started to walk on waters. The one thing that Jesus said to Peter was, come. Why did Jesus say, come? He could have said, I will come. He said, you come. Let the bride say, come. Let the spirit say, come. And whoever hears, let him also say, come. Come, Lord Jesus. And when you say this, when your heart is looking out for you, for him, all anxiousness, all that heaviness of that heavy spirit starts leaving you from then point onwards. You come to a place of zone like there where God you're seeking after starts giving you rest. Find rest, my soul. Lord, I seek. So when you want to find rest, I'm thinking to go onto a holiday to find rest. I'll tell you, you might think you have changed your geographical location, but those heaviness is still upon you. But when you seek him, when you're seeking after him, the reward is you will find rest in your soul. There are a lot of battles inside. Who gives that peace in those battles? Jesus said, be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. But man, you seek me. When you seek, you will find rest. And God is about to give rest to us. Shall we all rise to our place? Just reach out yourself to the Lord. I just want worshipers to come on the stage. And let's just offer ourselves and make a commitment. I know sometimes it's difficult. Sometimes reaching out is difficult. Our hand. But today may be the day that where your heart's wholeheartedly crying for Jesus. I just want you to put your hand on your heart right now and to tell Jesus, one of your hand on your heart and one hand in front, where you're saying, Lord, I would want to. The Bible says the heart is deceitful of all things. But one thing I know about heart is it can create wonders when its whole solely is in the hand of the Jesus. When this heart is all about Jesus. When this heart is all about the Lord. The Lord who made you. You know, he's looking out for you. Martha, Martha, you're anxious about many things. But one I have found who wants to sit at my feet and find rest in her soul. To find rest in her soul. One thing the Lord wants is to find rest for our bodies in us, which we cannot achieve by our wisdom and understanding. We might think we can set things in order. May I say, you're trying to set things in order. The first thing, set your heart in order, seeking whole solely for him. Your heart is wavering. Your heart is taking to a place where you need to let go of many things and get on board with Jesus. You know, when Jesus came into the boat, suddenly the water and the winds, with the water that was boisterous, was about to sink the boat, everything became calm. You know why? Because Jesus was in the boat. Where are you? There was a time when you were into your heart solely looking out for him. You left your guitar, your instruments. They said, how can we sing songs to the Lord in the strange land? We have hung our instruments on the trees. You know what you need to do? Get your instrument. Start jamming the guitar. Go back to the place where you belong. You belong to him in worship. You belong to him in the meditation of your word. You belong to him that moment that you used to have, that sparkle that came into your eyes when you found Him in your worship, in your meditation, in your prayer walk, in your ministering to people. Get it back. He's the rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. We need to be diligent about doing many things. We're diligent about paying our taxes on time. We're diligent about getting our bills paid. We're diligent about everything. That's great. That's good. That's a responsible person. But what about Jesus? What about Him? What about seeking Him? Let's come together. Jesus. Wonderful Jesus. Just lift your voices. Come on. Just sing something good. Just adoration to